Hey everybody, welcome to episode 87 of the Holtcast for 7500aholt.com. As always, I'm Jack Grimsey alongside Robert Lintott. How's it going, Robert?
It's going wonderfully. It's weird not to have video today.
Yeah, we're trying out a new system, which is actually an old system, that being audio only. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and please let us know what you think. We've been talking that as much as we like the video, we really would like to improve the audio quality, and we want to know if this actually is any better.
Yeah, so please let us know, and if you want to leave a review on iTunes, that would also be cool. You know, we're trying out a new system. Unfortunately, any new system Aston Villa try is just as terrible, maybe even worse than the old.
Yeah, it, God, could they do anything right at this point?
I don't think so. I mean, what's firing Eric Black going to do? No matter what, Villa are going to lose the next game. That's just the way that things go at this point, and I can't see it changing anytime soon, at least not until August, and at which point maybe we'll win some games in the championship.
It dawned on me today, and I realized that this is a really obvious thing to think of, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it before. It dawned on me today, Villa might just be waiting until we're actually relegated to find a new manager, because no one wants to come in and have relegation on their resume.
Oh, whatever. That's stupid.
But, I mean, because at this point, does it really matter if you get an extra game or two with Eric Black? Because we know we're going to lose, so just
wait.
Yeah, and
with these players, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and so that way you don't, I mean, you get to be careful with some poor manager's fragile ego.
Yeah, so that's kind of the problem, that Villa are not yet relegated technically, even though we may as well have been down since November, but it still isn't mathematically confirmed.
Yeah, and it's all thanks to a late-ish goal from Crystal Palace, who hadn't won since 2015. I mean, for God's sakes, Aston Villa had won more recently.
Yeah, exactly. That's just pathetic. They were off to a really good start on the season, too, sitting up, I think they're all the way up to sixth, but eventually Pardew's going to get you. I'd still take him at Villa, though, if Palace decided to dump him. Maybe Villa are waiting for something like that, seeing who the summer crop of managers are that are out there. Because maybe some people, their contracts run out, they don't get retained. I don't know if any of them necessarily would want to go to Villa, but I don't know. I just thought of that, and maybe that's what they're thinking.
Maybe we hope for someone else. I think last year I would have taken Pardew. At this point, I want nothing to do with him.
Yeah, probably he's, not.
He's got the stink of Aston Villa around him from his time at Crystal Palace. I mean, they've been almost as unsuccessful as we have in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. All right, let's go to the Bournemouth match. I did not watch it.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, I know it was terrible. I could have told you that. I didn't watch it, but I know that's a fact.
It was the first half was one of the most tepid, boring affairs that I have ever watched, and that includes preseason football.
That includes the first time we played Bournemouth this season?
Yeah, it was terrible. Neither team seemed like they really cared. Neither team seemed to have any attacking intent. Neither team seemed to
nothing,
want anything.
Nothing matters at this point in the season for either team. Bournemouth, they had a great year. They're staying up. Villa, they had a terrible year. They're going down.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. A little part of me says, yeah, nothing matters. But at the same time, you know, a win pushes us from the realm of just mathematical absurdity of Villa surviving to, oh, that seems pretty damn near impossible. I mean, it improves our chances, however minuscule it would. Get a win. Why not? Get a win at home. Win for the home fans, for God's sakes.
Yeah, win because you hate losing, and it's terrible and annoying and depressing every week, but
and it
you'd think there'd be something to play for from the individual standpoint, at least, as well.
Yeah, and from watching that first half, there was nothing to play for. Villa didn't look interested. Villa didn't look like they wanted to be a part of it. And it looked like it was guaranteed to go into the books as a 0-0 at halftime. And then Villa decided to Villa. Did you at least get to see that goal?
I did. And surprise, Ayew scored.
It's, well, Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the first goal, the one at the end of the first half.
Oh, no.
Oh, so Bournemouth take that short corner, and it should be the last kick of the match. And I'm not saying the ref should have blown his whistle, because you let the final play from a corner play out. But
yeah, last set piece.
Yeah, they take the short corner, and Villa are just absolutely, utterly fucking baffled. And a couple of passes inside the box, and they slot it past Guzan without even the tiniest bit of trouble. Just the stupidest freaking goal to concede.
Just the Villa-est goal to concede.
Yeah, I mean, until the second goal they concede, when Kieran Clark tries a back pass that looked exactly like that the time Brad Guzan tried a forward pass that went right in front of, who was it, Aguero?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, it was that bad of a pass. He tried it, and they just latched onto it and slotted it right past Guzan.
See, and that's why I couldn't even watch. I will watch Saturday, but...
Yeah, you don't have to. I'm not going to hold it against you.
No, I'll put myself through the misery of watching it.
You can go to the pub.
No, I'm going home. My grandparents are in town, so at my parents' house. So.
Nice.
Will not be at the pub, but at the pub that they will have the Copa America trophy on display, and you can take your picture with it.
Ah, of all the weekends, so, not to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the two goals we gave up, I struggle to be too mad at Clark. It was a stupid mistake, but he had been put in a bad position with a back pass that he probably should have never gotten because he was under pressure. But that doesn't, I mean, that doesn't forgive a professional footballer for not being able to pass a frickin' football. But whatever. Kieran Clark is not the target of my rage this season. He screwed up. That's fine. I don't really care. At this point, because it doesn't matter. It's
not like a point does anything.
Yeah, no. And then, like you said, you got the IU consolation goal, and it was actually a lovely goal.
Exactly. That's all that IU scores is quality goals.
He doesn't score a lot of them.
He scores enough of them to make an impact for some team, as long as he doesn't punch anyone in the face. But
yeah, he's got 6 goals in the Premier League this year.
Yeah, and just about all of them have been stunners. Like, he had that diving header against Swans, I think, and all the ones he's curled in from that left side, just probably 5 yards left of the D, kind of at the corner of the box. Comes in and cuts in and curls it in. Or slams it in, like a good striker.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a player that, his temper aside, he's someone I think I want to see back next year.
Yeah, I'd really like him to stay. I don't know if he will.
Here you go in damning statistics time. 48% of all of Aston Villa's Premier League goals have come from Justed and Ayew.
Yeah, and you know,
and that's that 48% is 11 goals.
Yeah, that's what the problem is. But if, you know, previously Villa were not having any goals coming from midfield the past few years. So, I don't know, how many goals have we scored from midfield? Like 3, probably, because they're probably all, well, 2 goals is probably like 50%. That's Lescott, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Ayew, again, towards the end of the match, lost his temper, started getting into a shoving match with someone.
Yeah, I got to pick up a card.
Which, he's got to figure that out. I mean, it's okay to be a fiery player, but he's already sort of gone beyond that by throwing an elbow into someone's face. So,
yeah,
he lost the benefit
of the doubt with that.
The leeway that you give him is a lot less than the leeway you would give a normal player.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't Kieran Clark charging in to protect Ashley Westwood or whatever it was that one time.
Oh, after he floored Jeffrey Schlupp?
Yeah, exactly.
That was such a perfect tackle. It was legal, and he absolutely wrecked him and just put him on the turf.
But no, I mean, this was just anger for the sake of anger, and he's got to get that in check because he's going to get beaten up in the championship.
Kevin Toner in the U21 match when he just he had 2 clean tackles, I thought, and West Ham, they did not like it.
Yeah, no, I thought the tackle that started the fight was a perfectly fine tackle.
Yeah, I think the ref was just at a poor angle, but I don't know. He went flying because I think he was trying to get out of the way.
Yeah. But yeah, it's because my issue with Ayu is the temper is okay in small doses, but he's going to be provoked a lot in the championship. It's just so rough there that if he doesn't get it under...
a lot of games, more chances.
Yeah, and if he doesn't get it under control, he becomes a pretty significant liability.
Then again, I'm sure part of it is based on the team just being absolutely dreadful, and maybe if we're winning, he's in a better mood.
Yeah, it's easier to let something go if you're actually a decent team.
Then again, there's a lot of stress, and if you're battling for one of those playoff spots and something goes against you, you can't get sent off in the first half. When, you know, look at Liverpool today, you can come back.
Yeah,
game's not over.
That was incredible, by the way.
Yeah, probably that's, I don't know. They have the Istanbul, but that's going to be special.
Yeah, no kidding. And Liverpool this year, a nice reason, and I realize this is now 5 years late, but a nice reason to show why maybe a team should care about the Europa League, Aston Villa.
Yeah, no kidding. And then again, you can get in the Champions League by winning Europa. So they've got to be the favorites for that at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, there's that added incentive, but...
I mean, I guess you have Sevilla. Sevilla always wins Europa League.
But I honestly don't think that so much of the fan enthusiasm is because of that Champions League spot. I think it's because they're competing for a title.
Oh, okay. You mean from that perspective. I thought you meant as like a manager's reason to go for it because Martin O'Neill's a tosser, but...
Oh, yeah. No. That's what I'm saying. But go for it because the fans actually give a damn.
Oh, yeah. And the fans should give a damn. Just like even if you can win the Mickey Mouse Cup, the Capital One Cup, it's still a trophy. And for Villa, that's good. Just like if you have a chance in the FA Cup, you got to put everything at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, this is years too late to actually matter because Villa aren't sniffing the Europa League anytime soon. Although
sniffing the really, Johnson's paint trophy is more like
really upsetting that we managed to be the FA Cup runners up in the first year in which that wouldn't get us a Europa position.
Imagine if we were in the Europa League.
we would not have made the playoffs.
We could have been like Wigan and been in the Europa League and got relegated, or in the FA Cup and get relegated.
God. Can you imagine?
They had already been relegated when they were in the Europa League, I guess, because of that. Like, okay.
God. Can you imagine being, like, as bad as Aston Villa are and somehow just dominating the Europa League?
Yeah. What if you got relegated, so you're in the championship, but yet you're in the Europa League. You win that, and then you're in the Champions League the next year, but you're not even in the top flight. Would UEFA let it fly? And what would the financial fair play regulations be like because you're in the second division? Oh, my God.
Aston Villa only participate in leagues with the word champion in the title.
There was some joke, like, making fun of Americans because it's like only Aston Villa could be bad enough to lose so many games they go to the championship.
God.
Because everything in America, the title game in the playoffs is called the championship game.
Like winning the NIT.
Yeah. Technically, it's something. All right.
Yeah.
Let's, so, that's oh that. Yeah, I want to just touch on that U21 match because it was good that, 700 people went?
Mm-hmm.
And that pitch was drenched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the I couldn't believe 700 people showed up in the middle of that weather. That looked absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I bet they could have got twice as good a turnout if it was nice.
Mm-hmm. But I think actually the kind of impressive thing is that that match puts Villa's U21 squad into line to basically have a playoff spot for promotion to the top tier of the U21 system.
Yeah, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. Especially after the dreadful year that the U21s had last year. This quick turnaround is rather impressive.
And Grealish was the captain and was completely... like responsible for creating the first two goals. He was doing it all. Mm-hmm. And then he had a golf injured, so I don't think he'll play this weekend, but he was great. Adama came back from injury and was okay for an hour, and that's just good to see him get some fitness. But the match was end to end. It definitely would have been one of the most exciting Villa matches you could have watched all year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And Oscar Borg, who just came from West Ham and gets just in the middle of that scrap at the end, that was awesome.
No, there's a little part of me that wonders Next year, with us going down to the championship and coverage being scant on the ground, with AVTV maybe televising a fair amount of the U21 matches, if that's where we devote a lot of our coverage.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends who's playing for the U21s, I guess, I think, and how they're playing. Yeah.
They're going to have no one next year because all of those players will be called up once everyone leaves this summer.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think they could be looking more like the academy team and just end up going back down if they come up this year to the higher tier of the development league.
Yeah. God, but it would be neat. It would be good to see them get that. You know, they deserve it. And I enjoy it. It's a nice response to the criticisms that we're going to leave Villa because we won't be able to watch them next year. And it's like, we just watched a second tier U21 match. I think we'll be able to find some way to follow along with championship matches.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a too big of a concern.
Yeah, no, we'll find a way to follow along. We're not going anywhere.
All right. So one reason we may not want to watch is Villa hire Nigel Pearson to be the next manager.
So, yeah, it's not official yet, but it's one of those everyone seems to think it's coming and seems to know it's coming sort of things.
Yeah, dreading it, like kind of like the McLeish signing appointment, I guess. But if there's one thing that Nigel Pearson's done right is that he was at Nottingham Forest. I don't know if he was being interviewed for that job or something, but hopefully he was watching Gary Gardner. Because if he puts Gary Gardner in the side, that's one foot in the right direction for me. And he's already kind of, I'm not going to hate Pearson any more than I already do at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I guess my big issue is the fact that he's, you know, just like Remy Gard did, and to some extent, just like Tim Sherwood ended up doing, coming over without his right-hand men, if it ends up happening.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. This sort of has the stink to me of one of those rumors that everyone takes for granted and doesn't actually end up happening. I don't know why.
I really hope you're right.
But
I have no idea what's what at Villa at this point is, what's truth and what's paper talk.
I've got this gut, and there's literally no basis for it, so this is not a logical or rational feeling, but I've just got this gut feeling that this is, you know, that rumor that everyone says, oh yeah, it's happening, and 2 weeks later people just pretend like we never said this.
I sure hope so. And that could be, I mean, I think that's actually pretty plausible.
Mostly because it just really came out of nowhere. We haven't heard anything about the manager for about a week now. And suddenly today it's, oh, well, they're going to hire Pearson and they're going to have so-and-so for their assistant manager. And it's like, where did this come from?
I think it's also weird that Eric Black hired an assistant. When do you see an interim hire an assistant? I mean, if you just need somebody to help with the drills and training, that's good, but it's kind of like he's taking his shoes off and hanging up his coat. He's looking to stay a while.
Which is hilarious because he is not going to stay a while.
Yeah.
He's God. I don't know. I really hope it's not Pearson, but it's one of those things that I guess I'll come to terms with it if it happens. It's not like I have much choice in it, so I guess we've got to make the best out of it.
What can we do? We're still going to support and cover the Villa, but I'm not going to be happy if it's Pearson.
Mm-mm, no. But yeah, but again, there really isn't much else to say beyond that because we've hashed the manager thing to death with the candidates that we all sort of know. So that's what the papers are saying. Maybe by the time you're hearing this, he's been hired, and maybe by the time you're hearing this, someone else has been hired.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But yeah, like we're saying, Black's not going to be around. I wonder if Gabby Agbonlahor is going to be around. Is he even going to want to come back from fat camp? Got sent there today.
Yeah, I'm glad you went with that because I was just about to go with, well, I guess it's just the newspapers chewing the fat. Speaking of which, so we were going to have a crappy segue.
He's got a lot to chew on, that flabby Agbonlahor.
God.
I heard someone wants to change the chant from he's fast to he's fat, which that's a bit harsh. He's really not that fat, but
no,
it's you can blame Gerard Houllier for that. Is Gabby used to be a sprinter. He used to look like a track star, and now he's just looks like he's English.
Yeah, he's I don't know. The club is playing this up as sort of a fitness thing. They seem really open about it, which makes me kind of want to take them at their word. A little part of me wonder if this is just like a bomb squad type situation. Like, we want to run you into the ground and make you want to leave so you get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's hard to know. We'll have to wait and see what Gabby puts on his Instagram.
Who was it? Was it... I think it was for the New York Times the other day. Someone wrote about, like, being an unwanted player in one of, I want to say, the Polish League or something like that. And he talked about the fact that he was forced to do solo training and they would dock his pay if he showed up even 5 minutes late or something like that.
Yeah, probably send him to the gulag.
Yeah, and so part of me just, maybe that's just in the back of my head, but I kind of wonder if Villa are trying to intimidate Gabby to move, like nullify your contract with us, dude.
Either that or make him get so mad that he tries hard again or something, you know? If they think that could motivate him for the championship, because if Gabby got back to even half the player he was when he was 22, he'd dominate the championship.
Yeah, except now he seems like he's twice the player.
Oh, he's twice. Which is like James' question. If Gabby, like last week, if Gabby ate himself, would he disappear or would he get fatter?
I promised myself I wasn't going to go for a cheap joke, but you set me up so perfectly.
Yeah, I almost set myself up to like, I had no idea what was going on. But
I don't know. Okay, great. He's going to go get fitness, except what's it going to matter? He still can't finish. Fitness is not going to make him suddenly realize where a net is.
Yeah, but if he gets in twice as many good finishing positions, he'll probably have twice as many goals. Which 2 times 0 is still 0, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, now he'll be able to run the ball past the touchline twice as fast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, he really strikes me as a player who's beyond reclamation.
Yeah.
I just want to see Villa part ways with him, and I'm totally okay with that.
Yep, and I think he is too, so...
Yeah, I think the time has come, sadly.
Let's move on to Twitter questions, and the first one actually really ties in quite well. It's from Tyler Fisher at tfisher21. What is Gabby's ultimate indulgence food? Excuse me.
You have any thoughts on this one?
I don't know. Nando's or something.
I was going to say, does Nando's do like a probably, fried chicken?
Probably just Cadbury cream eggs. He probably just goes to the Cadbury factory and just stuffs himself on cream eggs.
And get some of that delicious cream?
Probably not, but oh. Yeah.
God damn. But does Nando's have like a fried chicken?
I mean,
I know they've got their like peri-peri grilled.
I think it's pretty...
Yeah. Meaty. I've got to think, since Gabby's a footballer, the indulgence of choice is Nando's.
Gotta be.
Like, that's all there is.
There's some good curries in Birmingham, so.
That's true. Yeah, I'll go with Nando's. I'm a little upset that both of us thought of the same answer.
The local delicacy, cream eggs.
What was that?
The local delicacy at the Cadbury factory.
I like that. All right. I'll buy that. What's our next Twitter question?
All right. It's from Sean Granger at Mr. Granger. Do you still wear your jersey /AVFC or has it mostly hung this year? And I don't know. I still will wear it sometimes. Sometimes I'll just wear a different Villa shirt, not a kit, but sometimes not. I know Tyler Fisher, last time I saw him at the pub, I think it was, I don't know, maybe almost a month ago, but he was protesting by not wearing it, so.
I don't wear mine any more or less than I have in the past, but I'm also not one of the types of people who regularly goes around wearing a kit.
I'll only wear it on match day.
Yeah, I'll wear it on a match day, and then, you know, if I'm heading out afterwards, I'll keep it on or something sometimes, but.
I'll take it off if it's a bad law sometimes. Yeah. I don't want to see it. Go back in the closet.
get in the C closet.
Yeah.
Get in Davy Jones' closet.
Yeah.
What's our next one?
All right, it's from Paperwork Ninja at Paperwork Ninja. Is AVFC still going to be in Zagabria's forever home after relegation? And I think his lease is up in May. I don't know. He's getting kicked out. They're putting him on the front lawn.
He has to be, right?
Maybe hopefully they at least buy him a one-way ticket somewhere to say, hey, this is not our problem anymore. Can the UK please do us a solid and revoke his work permit? So he has to get the F out.
They owe us one. His contract is up.
They owe us like 50. They could give us one.
Yeah, his contract is up at the end of the summer, apparently, as is that of Kieran Richardson and no one else that we really care about.
Jesus, not a day too soon.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think it's
and again, MMA. And to make it so abundantly clear, it's not Inzaghi's fault.
It's not us. It's you.
Yeah. Well,
Richardson. It's not me. It's you. You're not working for Villa. Please,
God. He's just junk. He's garbage. But yeah. So no, Villa is not Inzaghi's forever home. And if we are, then I'll just cry.
Yeah, just signs on as a coach or something stupid. All right, and the last one from Gregory Michael at Rose City TID. I know the next week's our last chance to watch Villa for a while, but I get no joy anymore, watch or not. And I don't know, when I go to the pub, it's fun, but that's because there's other Villa fans there. Obviously, last week I said I didn't even watch it. I think I'm going to watch it this Saturday, though. Just, I don't know.
I actually, apologies to Tyler Fisher's wonderful food questions. I actually thought that was one of the best questions we've received in a while because I've struggled with that.
Very relatable.
I've been watching matches lately, despite the fact that I don't want to, for more, because we've got enough writers that I could every once in a while just say, y'all cover it, I don't want to. But I've been watching because it's like, well, they suck, but I don't know when I'm going to get to do this again.
Yeah, and it's kind of just like watching a train wreck. There's some entertainment value, I guess, from a very cynical point of view. Just thinking that even if you were out there, Villa wouldn't be doing worse. They're still going to lose.
Yeah, and the other thing that keeps me watching is the fact that the one time I don't watch will be their fourth win of the season.
Yeah.
Do you think Villa have a point left in them?
I really don't. I thought maybe last week was going to be the chance for a win.
What about the Newcastle match? Penultimate match of the year.
I really hope we beat Newcastle so then we can just hate the shit out of them for the rest of forever. But and beat them as okay. The thing is, if we don't go up next year and Newcastle don't go up next year, that's okay. But if they go up and we don't, that's terrible. If we go up and they don't, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's true. I think if there's any points to be had, it has to be that match, or it will be Arsenal, like, trying to hold on to fourth place, and we somehow nick a win.
All right, well, I hope then we lose to United so we can beat Arsenal and make them knock it forth. I don't know. I'd like to see West Ham in the Champions League, but I don't think that's going to happen. Both of those red clubs.
That would be pretty great, actually. Let's see.
I think they play United the last week of the season.
God, I don't think there's really any chance Arsenal are going to drop out of the top four.
Yeah, no way.
They're 6 points clear right now.
City could drop, though.
They could.
Oh, they're still in the Champions League.
We have nothing to say about that.
They're not even good.
Yeah, no.
All right, so...
Speaking of Man United.
Speaking of Manchester teams that are terrible but still in the hunt for the Champions League next year, Man United, Saturday at 3 British Standard Time, British Summer Time, sorry, BST. God, I can't even get it right.
British Soccer Time, right?
Yeah. Men in Blazers Soccer Time, they can explain soccer to you.
Oh, God. I went to a baseball game with my roommate last night. He might be listening, and he told me that he really likes Men in Blazers. And I almost told him that I'm sorry, I have to leave.
Don't worry, my roommate listens to them as well, so.
Yeah, he might be listening. I'm sorry, Brian, but Men in Blazers are just garbage.
Yeah.
And if they called and asked us for an interview, I would take it in a heartbeat.
I'm already blocked by them on Twitter. It doesn't matter.
No. Attaboy. What'd you do to get blocked?
I have no idea. It wasn't even like when I was tweeting like horrible things. Not even like horrible things to them one day. Not like James, who said, eat a brick or something. Like, I want to smash your face in with the brick. I don't know, but I didn't even say anything like that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't get your money's worth out of that block.
No, it's the worst. I can still see. I had to mute them because, or mute the search terms, Men in Blazers, because whenever someone stupidly quote tweets them, it still shows up in my feed, and I don't need to see that.
I'm so uninterested in what they have to say.
Sports, but...
I would rather listen to Martin Woodhull tweet at me for a week than listen to Men in Blazers.
Oh, let's talk about Martin Woodhull instead of talking about Man United.
All right, I'm game. My own personal fan club.
Yeah, basically. I don't know if you guys knew that Robert Lintott has a Twitter fan account, and it's actually run by a West Brom fan.
I literally have my own personal troll. I don't understand it.
Yeah, this guy has, like, I don't know, 10 tweets since April of last year, and they're all at Robert.
Yeah, it's... God, I actually, at some point, I need to just sit down and count, because he only has 105 tweets total, and it would not shock me if 70% of those were about SB Nation or me. Like,
yeah,
I picked up my own personal troll, and the funniest thing to me is he's decided that he wants to help me pick a new club because I won't be able to watch Aston Villa. And because I need to watch a British club because Americans don't have sports to watch.
No, yeah, the funniest thing, America doesn't have sports.
Oh, my God. And he told me that baseball has no skill as opposed to cricket, because in cricket, they throw the ball in the ground before they hit. Oh, my God.
And because in baseball, you run in a circle, and in cricket, you run in a straight line.
Okay. My God. I anyone listening, just please go look at 7500_Robert, and like half of my tweets for the past week have been to this guy or about this guy.
Well, if you feel bad, 100% of his tweets have been at you.
Yeah, we Americans don't have any good sports, unfortunately.
He has 4 followers.
Yep. He's picked one up, because someone mentioned earlier in the week he had 3. I wonder if I started following him.
No, one's a Villa fan named Steve, who has the TIFO from Wembley in his background. One is a cam model named Roxy Bell. One is at RioFerdinand05. His profile is all the latest news with a bit OI and some other guy, some poor soul named Tommy Neath, Carpenter and Joiner.
Yeah.
Joined October 2011, 103 tweets.
Oh, man, he's basically an egg.
7 likes. Only one of them is... what? His first like is his own tweet. And the last one is, "I'd prefer a man who hits the ball with a bat or paddle person," which is what you said to him.
Yep. This has been your Martin Woodhull report on the whole cast.
Yeah.
He's been... and I've really vacillated.
He got his 5 seconds of fame.
From hour to hour, I go from either thoroughly enjoying this dude to just wanting him to disappear forever. And I'm not really sure where I stand.
Yeah, it's... I mean, he's really... I guess you can't even say divides your opinion, because he just evokes your strong emotions, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right, let's talk Man United really quickly, now that we've spent most of our allotted Man United time on Martin Woodhull.
Sorry, I was kind of just talking when I was getting ready to tweet him this picture of the wet sandwich albatross that we tried to put on a flag for the West Brom game last year, but they wouldn't print it for us.
Aww.
That was too bad.
I think that's what started his trolling of us last year.
It is. Okay. Now it's come full circle.
Oh, good. Attaboy.
But...
although you're going to ruin my percentage. I had like half of his tweets, and now you're going to get a third of them.
Oh, no. yeah, Man United, they're 5th, like I was saying a little bit, 53 points. Only a +9 goal difference, so it's kind of weak. But Phil, not really in a position to comment on that with a goal difference of -41. Hey, it only went down by 1 last week, and yeah, we stayed at 16 points, believe it or not.
Yay. Manchester United to me are this really like singularly befuddling team, because my gut impression of them based on media coverage and whatnot is that they are not all that good, and yet they're fifth. That's not.
Yeah, they're like Leicester. They've grinded out more than their fair share of 1-0 wins. Obviously, that a lot of them have been on the back of David De Gea, who's brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh my God.
The other day someone said that Villa would not be, or they said that United would be getting relegated without De Gea, and they're like, what if Villa had him? I was like, well, he can't score, so.
In their past six matches, they've had four wins and two losses, and all of those four wins have been by one goal.
Yeah, they were on like an 8 or 10 match like winless streak, though, at the beginning of the year, though. Like,
yeah, it was really bizarre. And I think that's part of why I have this weird sense that they, you know, weren't all that great. And yet the lowest they've been in the table all season is sixth.
Yeah, I mean, as terrible as Van Gaal is, he actually is equally good. You know, he's just weird. He's not making them great, but he's making them horribly average. I don't know. And so, but you still have to feel like there's a good manner of professionalism around them because they just know how to win.
Yeah, and so that's my question with Manchester United. Like, despite the fact that they're fifth, can we still call this a bad team based on the talent available and the results they've gotten?
Oh, total failure. They were playing Ashley Young. They've played him at left back. They've put him at striker in the same game. Like, you.
Yeah. God, I mean, because it's hard. It's hard to criticize anyone.
Jesse Lingard, like, centrally, and Mata on the right wing, and why are you doing that? And Daley Blind is playing center back, and Luke Shaw got injured, but I don't know. He's clueless.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it's just when you have so much talent as Manchester United do, I feel like there really is. You know, you really can't be that bad.
Yeah, exactly. They're about as bad as they possibly could be. You know, Carrick, Schneiderlin, and Schweinsteiger, even though he's so old now, and before he got injured, and Ander Herrera, it's good midfield.
Yeah. I feel like Tim Sherwood could make Manchester United challenge for a Champions League spot.
Yeah, maybe, because he would just go balls to the wall and, like, could actually get some people to score some goals. And with the talent they have, they could score 4 goals a game. And then if they only give up 3, they get the win. Well, it's the same as Van Gaal grinding it out 1-0. They're going to, like, the worst they could do is 6, probably.
It's an entertaining heart attack from all of the
Yeah, exactly. There. Wouldn't you prefer to die, like, being entertained than just pulling out your hair and stabbing out your eyeballs watching 0-0?
Next week on the Hulkcast, wouldn't you die rather being entertained than watching Aston Villa?
Yeah. Well, too bad, because you're a Villa fan and you're going to die watching Villa, so it's terrible. At least have a big fire explosion or something.
All right, so
that's if we go down to League One.
Yeah, we haven't won at Old Trafford since Moses brought the tablets down from the mountain.
I think it was before that. That was at old Trafford.
Oh, I'm sorry. Old Testament Old Trafford.
Yeah. O-T-O-T. Oh, my gosh. That's great. We've got to end on that. Villa are going to lose at Old Trafford. Yep, but you still should watch, because we're going to be on Twitter. It's going to be fun. Follow 7500 to Holt, 7500 Robert Hull. He has some tweets. He chats with the West Brom fans, as we talked about for a while. But yeah, and follow me as well at Jack Grimsey. But you can get us in all the same spots except YouTube, because obviously we didn't do a video this week, as you'll know, listening to it and not watching it. But still on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Google Play Store. So yeah, that's about it. You can read all the latest Aston Villa news at 7500toholt.com. And for Robert Lintott, I'm Jack Grimsey. Thanks for listening, and we'll get you next time on the Holtcast.